I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more. Shepherds, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and this is a very special week because it is the end of the month, which means that we have our patrons joining us. But before I get to them, I need to introduce my wonderful co-host, the man who just fell out of the sky, literally, and Seven the Legend. Sam, you survived falling out of a plane just now. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. It's your birthday.
Thank you. It is my birthday. Yes. Thank you. For my birthday, I decided to do the dumbest thing I could possibly do, which was jump out of an aircraft at 14,000 feet.
Which was delete all of my Mass Effect saves. What?
I told a couple friends of mine, hey, make sure my internet browser is cleaned just in case. No, I'm kidding. I use incognito mode, but yes, I'm here.
Researching all that salacious Mass Effect artwork.
yeah.
So yeah, welcome. I'm glad that you had fun for your birthday and that you survived. That sounds awesome. And welcome to everybody who's in the live stream and to all of our patrons. We're going to go through and introduce each one of them really quickly. We got a whole bunch of them again. And this week we are all gathered together to talk about what we think would be really good ideas for, say, the main villain of the next Mass Effect game. And I'm curious because there are different ways that you could go about this. I think we might get some answers that are like an individual. We may get some answers that are like a faction or a specific race or group. I think we may get some answers that are more existential or natural, like there's some sort of major event that everybody's trying to subvert, or combinations of the things, like the Reapers were kind of a combination of some of those things. So I'm really curious to see what we're going to get, but let's go through and introduce everybody. Wesmatron, you're in the hot seat. Welcome, dude. Welcome back.
How's
to the
going,
show.
How's it going,
everybody? How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It's been a good weekend.
Awesome. Well, welcome back. We also have Will. Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, y'all.
Hey. And Genesis is back. Genesis?
I'm here, as always.
And Scott is here. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Captain Shanko, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Wynn is here, also returning. Wynn, just give him a peace sign. Sadie Cakes joining us. Welcome to the show, Sadie.
Hello.
And Turbo Toboggan, welcome back, buddy. So this is our crew on board our Normandy. I guess we should, maybe is this our Normandy? I don't know, Sam. Sort of like our Normandy.
I get more of a Tempest vibe.
Okay, well, on our Tempest. So who would like to start? Who has a really good idea for a villain? Or who do you think would be like the most likely villain for the next step in the story? Does anybody like to start us off? Any hands being raised? Looking around. Oh, Will. I saw Will's hand. Will, what do you think?
So I just want the dark energy plot to come back and somehow. And I know that the dark energy that the Reapers were part of is not the same as the dark energy Scourge and Andromeda, but I want them to somehow merge them.
Interesting.
And it could either be just dark energy being a thing or some, you know, big bad like Thanos, but not really Thanos.
Which do you think is more likely to have like a individual, like terrible person driving something to do with the dark energy, or more of like a, like, oh, maybe we've accidentally dabbled in this too much and now we've risked all of our lives and we have to stop it? Like,
I think the latter. I think more kind of like humanity, kind of not, you know, humanity, but you know what I mean.
That like the accidental aspect. Like we've delved too deeply in something we don't understand kind of thing.
Yeah, so how do we fix it? I think that would be more, but then you know, the Geth and the Reapers and the Scourge, that's all part of where we, where screwing up led to all them going kind of haywire.
So then, of course, you have the difficulties with the, like the political side of it, mm-hmm. and the different groups and that kind of thing. Sam, what do you think? What do you think about this dark energy plot?
I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that they're not just going to throw away the dark energy plot line. I mean, it had a hand in two separate galaxies, and across like three different games, there were inklings laid down of the dark energy plot line. And for those who are unfamiliar, the dark energy plot line was at one point supposed to be behind why the sun near Haystrom was dying in Mass Effect 2, when you go and recruit Tally. And so if you look really deep in a lot of online forums, you come across the same thought process over and over again, which was that that dark energy was accelerating the death of stars and altering other elements of space-time. And this buildup of dark energy was happening allegedly because beings were using more and more biotics and Mass Effect type technology. So using Ezo to affect mass and also using biotics and that kind of thing.
It was part of the balance of the equation.
Right. It's almost like a galactic version of like climate change.
Right. Right. That's interesting. It's an interesting, Will. I'm curious, who else was, do any of the rest of you guys have the same thought? Turbo's raising his hand. Were you thinking about the same idea, Turbo?
And Sam was going with at the end, like the Ezos. I was thinking dark energy, but I was thinking like the, you know, the Ezo accident that happened because of, I forget the corporation, like when their freighters blew up and gave, like, I was like thinking like maybe that was like a secret cult that's worships the dark energy that's causing humans to have biotics so they can make it like spread it.
So I think I know what you're referencing. That little tidbit of lore comes from a planet card. And what you're referencing, correct me if I'm wrong, is that there were ships with Ezo on them that blew up in the atmosphere above a planet. And then that Ezo rained down upon the colonies. And there was an implication in that planet card that it was done on purpose.
Right.
Yes. That's what I was thinking. Like maybe it was some like people trying to make biotics go faster, which would cause that dark energy
build up. Right.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, if you trace the lines a little bit, it's kind of implied that was Cerberus. That Cerberus did that. Now, right. I might be wrong, but that's just off the top of my head what I can remember.
Do you think if there is a dark energy plot that Cerberus will be involved?
I think in a sense, like they'll be involved as in they know about it, but not involved in creating it. Like, kind of like indoctrinated almost like they were with the Reapers, but I think it's more behind the scenes, and it'll be, I hate to kind of, I might just went on this tangent, but kind of in the sense of like in Horizon where it's just complete, it happens because people created the issue, and you have certain idiots that like to manipulate it and make it their own and make it about themselves.
Oh, it's kind of like the real world. I gotcha.
Yeah, pretty much.
where people get manipulated by people in power in order for their own gains, and of course it destroys so many other things. Wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that plot line makes sense, and it kind of resonates. Anybody else have any thoughts on this one? Turbo has his hand up again. Turbo?
I have a question. Do you think they'll go the route of the dark energy being like a kind of like sentient being, like Parallax for, like in the Green Lantern movie, like how the energy source actually has like a will of its own? Or you think it's just going to be like a natural element? Like, where do you think
I think Will would say more natural. Will, what do you think?
Like BioWare, like where would they go with this?
Right. Do you think that the dark energy will gain sentience?
I think it kind of does, because if you look at the Protheans, how they had their version of biotics and how they are the ones that gave the Asari biotics, that dark energy could have been essentially using the Reapers to reset and destroy life that was creating it.
Interesting. Interesting. Cool ideas. Cool stuff, Will. Thanks for sharing that. Does anybody else have a similar idea or something that would piggyback off this a little bit? Or are you guys all in very different things? Sadie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I forgot about the whole dark energy thing, actually, even though I'm replaying Andromeda right now. But I think a group is going to find a way, a new, like, evil group is going to find a way to manipulate dark energy and use it at a, like, a massive scale. Because you have a huge power vacuum after all of, like, the Reapers and all these different groups are gone. Mm-hmm. So a new power is going to come up and they need a new weapon.
So somebody like Cerberus, if not what's left of Cerberus, is going to go, okay, well, this is a shortcut to power, you know, to controlling other people or whatever, to domination. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's going to open up like an even worse situation that everybody has to now deal with? Or do you think that they become the thing that everyone has to deal with?
It really depends, and it really depends on the timeline, because if the game is set a lot later, they could have a lot more power because they've learned how to use dark energy by then. If it's earlier, they would just be starting to use it.
Right. They've kind of already established themselves, and now we're 6,000 years in the future, and now they are an issue. They've, like, surprise, galaxy, we're here, and we can wield dark energy in ways that you've never thought of before. And then cue evil laughter. Right. Something like that.
I think that's an amazing point about there being a power vacuum following the events of Mass Effect 3, because the Turian hierarchy got absolutely demolished and they were known as being the peacekeepers. And second to them, the Alliance, they got absolutely wrecked as well. The Arcturus station, I mean, most of humanity's forces got annihilated. As well as, you know, Krogan didn't fare much better. No one really fared great. And so there will be this power vacuum where maybe the pirate bands and the Merc groups in the Terminus system might gain a little bit more power. I'm not sure.
It's kind of like a space galaxy version of a wasteland.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so I'm glad that Sadie Cakes brought that up, because I was going to say a little bit later that I think Cerberus will make a comeback. And it's going to be even more scary, because although the elusive man is gone, we'll hear, you know, you can't kill an idea and you cannot kill human supremacy.
Right.
And the distrust of these alien groups after this enormous war is going to be through the roof.
Yeah. Lenin leads to Stalin, right? Like, you have the person who pushes the idea and then the person who capitalizes on it. And this happens a few times in history as well. Wesbo, you were raising your hand. Did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I want to piggyback off of the power vacuum, because I already know the perfect antagonist for the next trilogy going forward, and that's the newly discovered spacefaring race of the Yogg, because they figured their shit out and they entered the universe. Because that one that escaped in Mass Effect 3 stole a ship, went back home, they figured out how to make safe ships, walk out and say, oh, everything's gone. I guess it's ours now.
This is our turn to shine, everybody. You know, that kind of like, we're here. That's a cool idea. Was that your idea for the show?
It was mine. Yes. I have a lot. I can go a lot deeper into it. I spent hours thinking about how to just make something stupid work.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, this is cool because Sadie started kind of this power vacuum conversation, a group that leverages the dark energy thing. You're saying the Yogg. Scott, you raised your hand. Did you want to chime in about that before we move on with it?
Yeah, like, I was thinking about the idea of a power vacuum, but what I was thinking about is in any ending, whether it's synthesis, control, or destroy, unless you pick the walk away ending, and then I guess that doesn't really work, but most of the mass relays are destroyed as a result of the energy burst. And so you create this amazing coalition where you get all these races in the galaxy together, but you bring all of them to the Sol system, their militaries anyway. And then all the relays, like, they jump somewhere. We don't know where they all jump, but then all the relays get busted. So you've created a power vacuum where all these planets and, you know, the Turians and the Krogan and everyone, their militaries are all somewhere.
But they can't get home.
Sectors of the galaxy are now isolated from one another.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was like, when I was thinking of a villain, I always play Paragon. I have a really hard time playing Renegade. Mm-hmm. So the person that always survives, that probably shouldn't survive because she's kind of terrible, but is Maya Brooks, if you guys know about the Citadel DLC. And so like when you mentioned Cerberus, I was like, I expect someone new to crop up, and she's pretty resourceful. She found Clone Shepherd, even though it's kind of a weird thing to go through. So I was like, you would have this huge power vacuum, and then all the militaries are either scattered, pretty destroyed from even just trying to protect the Crucible in the end of the game anyway. And so now you've got to figure out, like instead of having this sort of outside force that's coming in and just kind of think Force Awakens, where you're like, this feels like A New Hope, you know, but instead it's more like, how do we reconnect the galaxy when we're all in these disparate places? And especially if the destroy ending is canon, you can't even be like, well, the Reapers helped us fix the relays in like 2 days, you know? So this more idea of like, we have to go around now and really kind of figure out, how do we get to Palavin? And then if we get to Palavin, what's the situation there? Like, are there a bunch of tyrants now because the hegemony, and we know Primarch Vicarian comes to Earth to help us. So they had like literally nobody. And, you know, so I think that's really what I was thinking about, is more that the big bad is the division that happens and the chaos that happens from the relays being destroyed.
Yeah. And to like, to match your idea and Wesbatron's together, you've got these diverse groups who are now kind of stranded in different locations. You have the Yogg potentially capitalizing on being more capable of getting out there. I mean, it's almost like you have this like desperate groups and factions, that sounds like a recipe for like a tinderbox, right? A bunch of desperate people in these places, while the main groups who are still trying to promote peace and working together are still trying to fix everything. But the people out there who are desperate are trying to take advantage of everything. It seems like a really cool mix of things. But keep in mind,
so the other question I have, we never really get an answer to, that it impacts this, as we can see from most empires in Mass Effect, right? When Javik tells us all about the Protheans, the more space you control, literally and figuratively, the better you are, right? And especially when you can build off your predecessors. But what we also know is that sometimes mass relays are deactivated. So did the energy burst, if it's a deactivated relay, does it get skipped? So if you do have a group like, say, the Yogg, or, you know, like the, when the Rachni relay was shut down and then we reactivated it coming through, if there is a section of space where the relays are deactivated for some reason, is that the big bad then as well, as we uncover a new region and they've been able to expand to a certain extent? Because all their relays were shut off, they've turned all their relays on, and so they own a bunch of stuff and they can zip around their empire real quick, while we have to just try and figure out how to get somewhere,
move at a snail's pace. Wesbo, what do you think about all of this? Does it kind of match some of what you were thinking too?
Oh, absolutely. And I like the idea of inactive relays weren't shut down, because like, if you control the main source of transportation, that's pretty good place to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Sadie, we kind of jumped off of yours into some other ideas real quick. I didn't want to miss out on any other thoughts that you had about what you've said so far, or maybe some of the things they've chimed in with. Do you have any other pieces that you want to share?
No, that was basically it. And I guess the only other thought I had with all that is, again, with like the timing, because if this is immediately after the trilogy, it could just be a ton of different factions that you're just trying to get everybody to calm down, and you're just traveling everywhere. But that's another like mass relay issue.
Yeah, the splintering because of that. I totally get what you're saying there. This is some cool stuff. Anybody else want to chime in? Will, go ahead.
I was say, in the expanded endings of Mass Effect 3, they did show relays being rebuilt, and the Citadel being rebuilt. So I feel like it'd be kind of weird to put a game in between that when you've already shown the post portion of it.
Or what if it's in the process of, like, what if, like they were explaining, what if some of the places with mass relays have been able to be repaired, but some of them are further away, and so it's going to take more time to get ships to those locations. So instead of having a game set where like, okay, all the mass relays are back up and running, we fixed them all, you could have situations where you're like, well, we've got a lot of them fixed, but there's entire quadrants of this galaxy that are still like in the dark because it takes that long to get a ship out there.
I feel like they're going to have you rebuilding some mass relays as part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see both situations, you know, like I think both are viable. Sam, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I thought that was a great idea and a great question about which relays are affected. But I also think that just because they depicted in stills what the recovery process might look like, it doesn't preclude them from really doing anything.
Story-wise.
If they wanted,
right,
they could just willfully, you know, disregard everything that they did if they wanted to do that. But even if they still wanted to honor it, it didn't really hamstring them too much because, yeah, you have the Citadel and it looks like it's been rebuilt with a space elevator above London. But all that would mean is that the Citadel is now located, you know, in Earth orbit, at least for a little bit. I mean, if it can be brought one place, it can probably be taken back somewhere. So,
yeah, man, this is some cool stuff. We need to take a break and thank you guys, our patrons, and we'll be right back. But those of you who haven't had time to chime in, be thinking about how you're going to say what you're saying. It's coming up. We'll be right back.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. Thank you to all of you guys for joining us and supporting the show. We really do appreciate it. Thank you to all of our patrons. Man, you guys are too nice. 66 of you right now. Holy moly. 66 patrons. Some new ones signed up this last week. We've got Commander Frosty. We have, let's see, Joshua G., Andrew S., and Mitch G. Thank you to all of you guys for signing up and joining us. I hope you guys are enjoying the benefits of the Patreon. And a big shout out to all our Commander Shepherds, Kolkashins, Captain Shanko, Cloudy Atlas, Kira, Lieutenant Tosino, Pipe Man, and Big Bills. Thank you so much to all of you guys. You guys are the best. And we don't have any new ratings or reviews to read out this week, but if you'd like to drop a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out in the future. And a rating on Spotify would be helpful as well. So we're going to keep this mid-break real short because we've got more people to chat with. So here we go.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, here we go. We're back. Let's move on. I know we've got four more of you guys who haven't been able to chime in yet. Who would like to go next? Who would like to go next? We've got Genesis, Captain Shanko, Wynn, Turbo, anybody? Wesbo is ready. No, okay, we'll go to Jen. I saw Wesbo's screen pop up. I was like, he's ready to talk again. I think it must have caught a sound in your room. Jen, what are you thinking?
So I think that it's going to have to be a combination of the timelines, and what it's going to have to do is bring some of the Andromeda enemies to the Milky Way.
Oh,
I think we're going to see the Jardin.
How are they going to get there? Is it going to be like, hey, they've been traveling all this time and nobody knew it? Or,
well, they were an advanced civilization even before they went to the Helios cluster.
Right. So are we going to see, like, they have technology to do this faster than we would have expected?
Absolutely. I think that they would be able to travel faster than what we can.
And so that leads to, like, the potential for more cross-galaxy stuff in the entire game?
Possibly. That would allow travel between Helios and the Milky Way. But, I mean, for me, I just think that's one of the ways that they're going to tie everything together is by introducing the Jardin into the Milky Way.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they the enemy?
I don't know yet.
Mm.
I don't know if they're the villain, if they're the enemy, or if they are just like, all right, well, it worked last time for us to come and populate it with our own species. Let's see what happens here. And yeah, we don't know who was inhabiting, you know, the Helios cluster before the Jardin built the Angara. Maybe, or if they're, they like did overtake the race.
Yeah, or if they're like a sub-faction like, just because you're of a race doesn't mean you have the same agenda as everyone else who's part of that race.
Mm-hmm.
They could be a separate faction with a separate reason for going to the Milky Way instead of Helios. Like, there's a lot of ways to play with that plot line. It also introduces, it's kind of the inverse of Andromeda, where you have like our race is going there. Now you have another race coming to the Milky Way and the weirdness that that creates. It's kind of a cool idea. Yeah.
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 What if you start out fighting the Jardin and then they become allies because there's another big bad and they realize they were wrong for what they did?
And it's called dark energy.
I
was going to say like something different, but you know, we could go with dark energy. That's cool too, because the Scourge did kill them almost.
I would be happy as long as we don't have to fight the Ket again. The Ket were not one of my favorite enemies. In fact, as far as enemies go, they're kind of right there near the bottom next to the Blue Suns for me. Because it was just like, why are you even here? What are you even doing?
What about the rest of you guys? What do you think? Do you think this is a possibility? Do you think it's likely? You think we're going to see some cross game connection like this? Who wants to chime in? Every kind of just shaking heads and stuff. Anybody?
They're probably going to mention something about Andromeda. They have to acknowledge it.
Not only do they have to acknowledge it, they've already acknowledged that they're going to acknowledge it. They said that the game is going to include stuff from Andromeda.
Yeah, it would make sense because, I mean, the distance between the games releasing, there's enough time where some people, Andromeda was their first Mass Effect. Like, to them, that is Mass Effect. And, oh, yeah, there's the old ones and they remastered them. I guess I'll play them, too. You know, like, a lot of us are coming from the original trilogy, but there are younger or at least newer players. And, like, to leave that out there and not address it would be like, why? Because a lot of people, some people really do like that game. I think it's interesting, like the idea of being able to combine information between those two locations that are so remote and removed and incorporate them into Mass Effect 4, I think it's going to need some sort of technology leap. Now, whether that comes from a race that already has that ability, like Genesis is talking about, or some new advancement that has happened in the time that has passed since those games, I don't know.
I think they will eventually combine both of the galaxies and the, you know, they're gonna bridge the gap. But I really wonder whether or not the protagonist in the future games is going to be military, like an N7, or are they going to be civilian, like part of the Andromeda Initiative?
Yeah, I wonder if we should debate that on the next patron chat. That would be really
maybe
cool.
Yeah.
Well, cool ideas, Jen. Does anybody else want to chime in about this, or should we move on? Any other thoughts? Think everybody's good. All right, who wants to go next? We can just move down the list. Captain Shenko, are you ready?
Suppose I can be ready.
Okay.
I think one thing I'd like to see is a little bit, you know, after the main trilogy, we have two games of build up and then the Reaper War. And it's, you know, a big deal, a big thing. I'd like to see the threats come back down to reality a little bit less large scale intergalactic war. And we're now in the, you know, the after effects of a war like that, where there are going to be power vacuums. There are going to be refugees, even worse than during the war, I think, because now at this point, supply chains are completely shattered, ruined, whatever. So I think maybe just almost like a survival style, not necessarily an actual antagonist, but you know, you're working against people and for your own people. Be kind of cool to see.
Yeah, that makes sense. Kind of like the MCU, right? You build up through phase one and phase two, and then phase three is the big, you know, Thanos problem. And then phase four is back to, these are individual films with kind of more reasonable villains and things to deal with. We're not dealing with anybody destroying the galaxy yet.
I mean, they could totally fight Thanos too. Just literally Thanos.
You just bring Thanos into the story and they open up like a new gateway to like some other part of the galaxy they haven't been in yet. And then in comes Thanos' fleet and he's got like a like the gauntlet and he's like, I've been waiting for you. And you're like, crap.
Shepard's putting on their armor again. They're like, God damn it, I thought we were done with this.
We solved all the problems. What do you, the rest of you guys think? Do you think we're going to see like kind of a smaller scale, not as high stakes kind of thing to start out with?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, basically, we're getting a brand new story, so it makes the most sense to start at the beginning of the story, not right in the climax.
Yeah, I mean, to set up another trilogy would obviously make them a lot more money than just selling one more game, right? So that makes sense, too. It's also kind of fun to kind of work your way through something and see it build over time. I totally get that. Sam, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree that I think that we're probably going to see them take a step back in terms of the scale of the villain. I don't think that they're going to immediately try and outdo themselves with the space opera ending of Mass Effect 3. I think we could very well see something that is much more micro, like we saw in Mass Effect 1, where we're fighting essentially, you know, one rogue specter, but then we learn a big twist along the way.
There's something bigger
and,
behind it.
And yeah. So exactly. Yeah. So I think that there's a high possibility that we think we're fighting one bad guy, right? And then we stumble upon twists along the way, which take us into the next game, and you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that totally makes sense. Yeah, I get that for sure. Cool idea, Captain Shanko. Also, I like your little thing on your ceiling there. Here. All right, Wynn, do you want to go next? You want to share your ideas?
Nothing that hasn't already been said before. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely going to be a group that deals with supremacy, like Cerberus, Terra Firma, not the Batarians because they're virtually eradicated right now, but yeah, some kind of most likely human supremacist group because that's what humanity does best.
Yeah, I mean, that would make a... I think that fits into kind of what Shanko was saying. This idea of like this isn't the end of the, you know, end of the galaxy, but these guys are bad. We have to deal with them. And if they become more powerful... What's that, Will?
Plot twist, it's the Americans.
It's the Americans. Like, the Americans break away from the rest of the the nations on Earth. Dun, dun, dun. I'm sure everybody in this country would love that idea, sarcastically speaking. I mean, half of this country would love that idea.
Okay, fine. To appease the other half, it's ISIS.
It's ISIS, right. Yeah. Yeah, I could totally see that. I do you think that they have another, like, key mysterious figure, like, individual behind it? Do you think they put a face to that threat? Or do you think it's, like just the group at large, and it's just like this political board of like leaders that are just kind of, you know, no one person's really to blame. It's the ideology itself. Scott, you want to chime in?
I think that was the thing about Andromeda that I kind of wish they hadn't done, which was the reveal of Reyes as the charlatan, because it kind of ruined the collective, where it was like they were this organization and it was like, who's in charge? No one really knows. There's all these theories. So it would be kind of nice to have them set up something, if it is going to be more micro, to have it be someone where it's kind of like, we don't really know. We can never nail it down. Kind of like the Shadow Broker was until the DLC, you know? And so I think that would be a really nifty angle on it, where it wouldn't just be like a, oh, you romanced me and I happen to actually be the person that's in charge of this shady group. But it would be like, we'd never really figure it out.
Yeah. And with a sufficiently dynamic enough governmental system, it's hard to pin some decisions just on one person. Like, sometimes the ideology takes over. And yeah, maybe there's a figurehead, but that taking out the figurehead is not going to stop the ideology. Like, the actual threat is the ideology. And I mean, that feels very postmodern, but it also feels very real and very scary. Like, it doesn't matter if you kill, if you chop off the head of the snake just keeps on going. Like, it seems like a really scary idea.
Yeah. And I think we could definitely see a lot of that, because like I said, trust of others is going to be at an all time low following the end of Mass Effect 3. And like you said, the ideology continues. There's always going to be someone that picks up the mantle of malignant narcissistic hate.
Right. Because it's too beneficial temporarily.
Right.
Right.
And so because of that, I think a very compelling villain for the next Mass Effect might be someone who's doing that and is this populist, very popular with his group leader, like this populist leader that appeals to the masses.
Mm-hmm. I love all of you. Go home peacefully.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Stand back, stand by, and is a complete fucking monster.
Right. Right.
So I think it's quite possible that, you know, we see something like that. And hey, who knows? Maybe Kai Lang didn't actually die.
Yeah.
It's totally possible.
Yeah.
Wesbo.
Oh. I will stab that man again.
Everybody's chiming in now. I know Wesbo has a hand up and Will wants to talk. Will, go ahead and then we'll go to Wesbo.
I was like, I don't think a leader has to be all I love you, all peaceful to be popular amongst the masses, i.e. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Like they do terrible things and that's what actually gains them preference with the masses. Yeah, very, very well could be the thing. Wesbo?
So... I was listening to N7 talk about potential thoughts about like a very popular person, rogue Spectre. So what if, I'm going to piggyback off my own too. So the Yogg, they're hyper intelligence, right? They would learn, I assume very quickly, about some specific procedure that Cerberus did on a specific dead person. What if the Yogg found Shepard's body, or they tricked Liara into finding the body, stole the body, bring the body back, because if he can survive falling through an atmosphere, he can survive a little explosion where buildings fall. But when they bring him back, they don't give him his free will. So the first game is just you hunting down Shepard, trying to, and what you do throughout the game impacts the ending of if he dies or if he survives.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that one? Sam, you have any thoughts?
I think it would be an interesting sidestep to have to get away from canonizing any of the choices that anyone made along the way. So, and because of that, the pessimist in me says, yeah, that's probably what it's going to be. Because I gotta be honest, like the logical part of my brain has close to zero faith that they will have the gall to make a sequel of Mass Effect 3. If I'm being deadly honest and I want to zap all the hope out of everyone, I'll say that they're never going to ever. Because
but a sequel will bring them the money.
Right. But we can't delegitimize anyone's ending. And that might be the facade that they put on, as the reasoning, but in actuality, it might just require giving the writers too much money and time, which it seems that game companies want to, especially ones like EA, want to navigate away from. But that is the pessimistic part of me speaking. If I'm being optimistic, then I would say they might do something like that as a graphic novel intro for the next game. You know what I mean? Like an innovative way to say, last time on Mass Effect, you know.
Let's bring you up to speed. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting idea. Well, we have Arcan joining us, just getting in here a little bit late. Welcome to the show. We've been we're getting close to the end. We've been talking about our thoughts on who the villain or what kind of villain there might be for the next Mass Effect game, and we're down to you and Turbo Toboggan. Turbo, do you want to share some ideas? Do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, the idea of it starting out small and got me thinking. Like, I'm more thinking it's going to be a dark energy, but starting out small, it could just be that corporation we just starting to do up. It's getting people with Ezo again, starting up, like, not necessarily Shepard, but something like they're going out there because there's these big explosions going off causing the Ezo and eventually it leads up to the dark energies. Well, my thing is, like, the dark energy is going to be the next big bad, the next cease, like, wherever, how many they're making.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've been talking about this whole dark energy thing. Like, what if you have a situation where the remnants of the humans are inadvertently exposed or advertently exposed by a specific group to too much Ezo, and now you have, like, way too many people with biotic abilities for the population to, like, handle, and that becomes an issue. It's kind of like a, you know, X-Men mutant kind of scenario. Like, but it's been set up as a reason to, like, destabilize the population. And if that could happen with humans, that could happen with other races as well, as a way to keep them destabilized. And then you have the group, like you're talking about, Turbo, using that as a way to gain power by keeping everyone destabilized, while at the same time bringing on biotics as a place where they're welcome to join their ranks, and then using them as soldiers or something like that.
Like a cult or something that worships the dark energy.
Right.
And then what happens in the end is the dark energy has a mind of its own, and it's like not indoctrination, but it's just using the stupid people who think it's the, like,
people who've been convinced,
your God.
Yeah.
I just want to destroy the world.
Right. And you, I like pineapple and pizza. Yeah.
Evil.
I don't really have an opinion about pineapple and pizza. That's a cool idea. That's an interesting idea. What do you guys think about this? Do you think that there's some potential here for some sort of dark energy biotic manipulation thing? I know we're kind of going back to a previous topic. What about this incarnation of it? Any thoughts on this one? Everyone's like, maybe. I don't know. No. Okay.
I think the thing that would be interesting would be if it explores the difference between Asari biotics and what the Protheans had, because, like, Javik's power is called, like, Dark Channel. So I'm like, is there some, like, is it, like, different in some way? So, I mean, I could see that as a tie-in, like, ooh, it's,
yeah,
the Asari changed it, and that's affected the, you know, the balance of things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Well, Arcan, welcome to the show. Glad you're able to make it.
Thank you.
We've been talking about bad guys, factions, dark energy, big bads, smaller bads for the next one, working up to another big bad. We've had a lot of different concepts here. Do you have a concept for the villain that you think is either most likely or that you would like to see?
Well, I think there's a massive power vacuum now that the Citadel and the Council is gone.
Right. Yeah. A lot of our discussion was around that, and the factions vying for power things. What do you think that's going to do, though?
Well, I think that Krogan's superiority complexes might get a little too aggressive. And regardless of Rex and what's her name? Eve or Bakara, I think the Krogan would probably revolt, and that could be like a first half until, like, a larger threat comes in. Could be the Ket or something to do with the dark energy, or even Leviathan, because they never really went anywhere after the Citadel and Earth siege. I mean, I don't think the Leviathans are just going to sit around on their planet.
Interesting. So you've got a lot of pieces here. So, like, we could end up with it. Let's go back to the beginning. We could end up with another Krogan problem. I mean, that seems like a very real potential.
So the Dalatras could have been right.
I mean, what happens if you have, I mean, you have some Krogan who are able to get along peacefully, but you have, like, a mass of them that aren't, and all of a sudden now they're a big threat to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the Krogan would definitely diverge into factions, because Rex definitely has a lot of pull, and he's got Grunt on his side as well. Or it could be that a faction usurps Rex and Bakara, and maybe part of, like, a loyalty mission or a recruitment mission is getting Rex, and his loyalty mission is trying to put him back on the throne.
Yeah, I could see that happening. All right. Anybody else want to chime in about this one? This one's, there's a lot of cool different ideas here. You got Krogan's, Ket, Jen?
Yeah, no, I kind of like that idea, because especially with how your world state is, it could be like going into the next the next game, the Krogan could be an ally if you have Rex alive, or they could be an enemy if you have Reeve alive, because Reeve is more of that one that is going to easily tip the scales into wanting to be more warmongering than Rex would be.
Yeah.
I could easily see that happening.
Interesting. So a whole situation where it's almost like they're a subplot to the bigger thing. But when you come across a world with Krogan on it, they treat you differently depending on what happened. Mm-hmm. All of that's like different missions will play out differently. Yeah. As like a piece in the puzzle. What do you think about that, Arcan?
Yeah, it actually makes a lot of sense. I kind of forgot about Reeve. But that did bring up the lovely memory of seeing him getting eaten by Kalross. Yeah, I think that if Rex were in place, for the Krogan to be a major threat, he'd have to be dethroned. But if Reeve is in place, it would be very viable for the Krogan to immediately just rise up. Especially now that, depending on your actions, the Genophage is cured. They have their own near unlimited army again.
Right. Yeah, that's the part that makes me go, what if that just bites everybody in the butt? You know, like, it seemed like the right thing to do, but now that could create lots of problems. Now, you also mentioned the cat. We did speculate a little bit about cross galaxy stuff. How do you envision that working out?
Well, if the Andromeda Initiative were able to get to Andromeda, I would assume the cat would have wondered where they came from. And I mean, they could probably try and recreate something like that to expand their empire.
So do you think they've been traveling for a long time in the past and are now getting there? Or do you think that they have some sort of technology that allows them faster than light travel in a way that better than what we've seen before?
It could be the first one. I mean, we don't know what happened entirely to the ones who made the Angarans. I don't know why I'm forgetting their name, but,
the Jardan.
Yeah.
The Jardan could have had some sort of technology like that. And I believe the Ket would have definitely interacted with the Jardan, or at least the Arkan seems pretty obsessed with them.
Yeah. Jen's idea was that the Jardan have found a way to do it. And so they have the technology.
Yeah. I don't think that they would be able to make the next game with the Ket coming in after the Andromeda Initiative has already arrived at Andromeda. I mean, Liara would be in her late matriarch years, I believe.
Yeah, the whole timeline on this is something that everybody's been debating too, like how that actually is gonna work out. But yeah, there's some interesting ideas. Anybody else want to chime in on any of this stuff? Any of the stuff that Arcan brought up? Any other thoughts? Sam, you have any thoughts?
Well, nothing that I haven't already said. I think it's quite possible they try to link the two games. I think it's also quite possible that we see familiar actors from previous games come back, but they're no longer friendly or good. I think that would be a strong narrative point, especially if we have someone that maybe even served as a member on Shepard's squad at some point in time.
What if Shepard's the villain?
What if Shepard has been indoctrinated?
Or what if it's like a clone Shepard, or like a resurrected but not really still himself Shepard? But he's
like
clearly
DLC. Yeah,
he's clearly very capable. We just get like an expansion of that idea, right? Into like, hey, you thought you already did this, but guess what? There's another clone Shepard. Now you got to deal with him. And nobody knew he was Shepard because he doesn't take his helmet off.
This is a great original idea of yours, Tom.
Darth Shepard. He's like,
oh, you know, on the note of Star Wars, what if it's something along the lines of Anakin's corruption that we see? And, you know, someone brought up Liara in chat. We already saw the inklings between Mass Effect 1 and 2, and then again in 2 and 3, a big leap, where Liara looks like she's kind of going down this really dark path. I'm not sure if anyone else felt that way, but for me, it felt like she became obsessed with power after having become the broker. A few of the things that Liara had said throughout the games, I was like, whoa, that's fucking harsh.
Do you think
that's brutal.
Do you think the fan base could could deal with like evil Liara?
They would have to.
But do you think, like, the same way that you're saying, like, they might avoid like canonizing an ending? Do you think they would avoid this concept in a ways that, because the fan base would just reject it?
I don't know. To be quite honest with you, I hope BioWare doesn't give a damn what the fan base is going to reject and what they're not. I want them to make a story to the best of their ability.
Just an awesome story. You know what I mean? And too bad if you don't like the premise, but hang on there. Check out the story. It's good.
Right.
We promise.
Right.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, no matter what they put out, a certain percentage of the fan base is going to reject it anyway, because gamers are so goddamn entitled anymore. sorry, it needs to be said.
Humans in general, we just kind of have this thing where we're just like, no, this is my idea and it has to be the truth.
Right.
And anything else is just wrong. And it's like, come on.
Yeah. And when typed here in the chat, in the chat within this chat that we're leading, that a good villain makes you have sympathy for them. Yes, I agree. A good villain draws upon some of the own internal dialogue that you've had with yourself. Maybe some of the thoughts that you've had to repress because you're like, you know what, that's not the most moral thought. A good villain does do that. And so hopefully the next villain speaks to us in that way, and not a villain like the Archon, where it's just completely unrelatable and you're like, what is this turd even doing?
What is this turd? We don't need a turd villain. Well, guys, this has been super fun. Shanko, do you have something else you want to chime in before we wrap
up? Yeah, just real quick. Psych and I were even talking about this the other night when we were talking about X-Men, how Magneto is a sympathetic villain. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how sympathetic villains are inherently more interesting and easier to get behind, because while their methods may be extreme, typically they're not wrong about, you know, events going on or things happening in the world. And a sympathetic, understandable villain in the Mass Effect setting would be really cool and really different, because most of the villains don't get their redemption until they're pretty much dead.
Yeah, that's some solid points. The idea that like they have the right idea, but the way they're going about it is the thing that I'm against. That works really well for villains. I think you're right. Well, guys, I think we're hitting the end of the show. It's time to wrap it up. We're going to go back through. I'm going to thank each of you, and feel free to share any projects that you're working on, anything else that you're doing that you want to shout out, or ways that people can get a hold of you. We're just going to go back through the list. Wesbotron, you got anything you want to share?
I'm full of hot takes. Come find me on Discord.
We should have a bot that's like, do you want a Wesbotron hot take? Use this command. And then like whenever you see it, you're like, all right, Wesbotron, talk about this.
Any time of the day, I'll show up, say one thing, leave into the night.
How do you feel about this idea? Well, let me tell you. Thanks for being here, buddy. Will, you got anything going on?
Nope, just living life. So thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Genesis, I know you got stuff.
I do have stuff. I am Genesis, one half of the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, who is very happily back in the full swing of things, live streaming every Friday night with episodes coming out on Mondays.
Awesome. Yeah, go check it out.
Happy to be back.
Go check it out. I'm glad you're back too. Scott, thanks for being here. You got anything going on you want to share?
Well, just living life. But if anyone wants to track me down in real life, you can find me on Twitter at Scott1266.
Awesome. Captain Shanko, thanks for joining us again. I know you've got stuff.
Yeah, we definitely have stuff. We just had our fourth episode of our podcast come out. We're the MCU Lorecast. So if you like Marvel Comics or Marvel Cinema, give us a listen.
Yeah, go check it out.
We just had a recording of Genesis on our show for the Rogue episode. So if you like her too, come listen to her on our show.
It's like comic book crossover here in Robots Radio Land, where everyone's just guesting on each other's shows. It's super fun. Awesome. Wynn, you got anything to share?
I'm starting a podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I got nothing going on.
Well, thanks for joining us. I'm glad you were able to make it. And then Sadie Cake.
I'm on Twitter Barely. I just started Sadie Cake 09 and things are in the works, but nothing big yet.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, definitely fill us in as you get closer. Turbo Toboggan, you got anything to share? Ways people can reach out?
If you want to reach out to me on Discord, I haven't been on for the last month really, but I'm planning on going back onto it now.
Cool. Cool. Turbo Toboggan on Discord. And Arcan, you got anything you want to share?
I'm just ruling from the eternal throne on Zakuul, but other than that, I deliver pizzas, so there's like a non-0% chance I might deliver to you if you live in America.
Wow, you've got a really big zone, a really big delivery zone.
It's a non-zero chance, could be a 0.0001.
Can I order a pizza from your place and then like 4 days later it shows up because you just drove across the country?
I would try my best if you left more than $2 for a tip.
I tip my pizza guy well because there's still a freaking pandemic out there and you guys are risking your lives. So I recommend other people when you order stuff, tip your delivery people, please. But yeah, thank you for joining us. Thank you all for being here. You guys have been awesome. Sam, you got anything to share before we head out?
Yeah, of course. I just wanted to say thank you to all of you who have showed up, and we have a decent contingency of patrons who are not able to make it tonight. And I want to say thank you to all of you because, as I've said before, I will be moving yet again to Seattle, and the monetary support that you show this podcast is going to have a very tangible effect on my ability to move. Moving is expensive, especially when you got to break a lease fee here and then have to pay deposit the next place. And so, yes, your support has a tangible effect. It is having a wonderful effect on my life, and it provides me the financial life jacket to stay afloat. So, and that's besides the fact that I value all of your time. The time is more valuable to me. The fact that you could carve out time to be here with us and talk about the nerdiest things on Earth and in the Milky Way, that is something that I treasure. And just thank you again to all of you. And I can't wait to interact with you in the Discord and on future streams of mine. So,
yeah, awesome. Well said. Well, thanks, guys, for being here and for the support. We really do appreciate it. Chat, thank you for joining us as well. Next week, Sam and I are both off. I'm going on a little family trip. Sam's got moving stuff going on. So we won't have a live episode, but the episode we recorded last week as like the bonus episode is going to come out in the podcast feed on the audio platforms. So if you aren't listening on the audio platforms, if you only watch the videos, then go look us up on whatever podcatcher, Apple, Spotify, wherever. If you want to check out that episode, it'll be up there. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. So stay safe out there. Thanks for being here, everybody. We'll see you later.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.